and welcome to another edition of the Mr. Warren Hayes Show. I am, of course, Mr. Warren Hayes, and here we are on a Thursday evening, all congregated once again to discuss and dive into the world of professional wrestling, which is what I talk about. That's what I do hanging out here every Thursday night to record my podcast live right here on youtube.com/Mr. Warren Hayes. It may be April 1st, but trust you me, this is no fools. The only fool that is here is the guy here in front of you discussing pro wrestling, if you want to believe that. That's what we're doing here. But you know, a lot of you know this by now, because a lot of you come and join me, drop in live, because we record on every Thursday, right? 9 p.m. Eastern. And there's a bunch of you who drop in to come and hang around and say hello and join the awesome, incredible festivities every Thursday night. And who are these people? Well, there's quite a few, like Robert Larry, who's here. How you doing, Robert? Good to see you. Tim Traver, longtime friend of the show. Good to see you, Tim. Good to see you, absolutely. We've got Kelly Torres as here as well. Ooh, nice to see you, Kelly. We've got Mr. Fretz, who is in the house. Anakin JMT, good to see you as well, sir. Who else have we got? Who else we got? Oh, we got Kristen Ashley, the first lady of the Mr. Warren Hayes Show. Ah, who is here? How you doing, Kristen? Welcome, welcome, welcome. We've got Phantomark 82. That's right. Our boy Ben is here as well. Fifth generation Carney Joseph with it. Hello, nice to see you. We also have Trends Day Sean, who is here. Nice to see you as well. MC Carvalho, our man on the inside of WWE. We've got the Line Drive here too. Nick Wolf has joined us. Chris Jacobs, hello. Welcome, everyone. Oh, the Wrestling Shit Streak Saver is here as well. That's a mouthful. That's the kind of thing that they should be teaching you, you know, in broadcast school when it's time to test your diction. You know, the Wrestling Shit Streak Saver. Not an easy one to say, but welcome. I want to say hello, everyone, and welcome. Welcome, everyone, to the show tonight. And thank you for being here. Thank you for being here. Of course, you know, it, per usual, if you're here and you're already having a good time and you're already seeing what you're already enjoying what you're seeing, do consider giving the video a like, a big thumbs up. Or if you're listening to this on your favorite podcast application, well, so a little bit of love there as well would be super, super appreciated. I really, really, really appreciate that as well. So that's basically how it goes, right? And here's another thing you can do. You can head on over to belltobells.com. That's your women's wrestling wire for all the wonderful coverage of women's wrestling in the entire universe. Belltobells.com, BELLTOBELLES.com, where you can follow us on Twitter as well at Bell to Bells. That's all fantastic. We're a couple of days away from WrestleMania. WrestleMania and TakeOver, Stand and Deliver. I'm still not quite sure what I'm doing with the stream next Thursday, since it's night two of NXT TakeOver, Stand and Deliver. I know I'm not going to be, I will not be airing at 9 p.m. That I can tell you that much. Am I going to postpone? Am I going to do it the next day? Am I going to do it at 10? I'm not quite sure yet. I have a couple of balls that I'm juggling right now. And yes, I realized once it came out of my mouth that I shouldn't be saying that. But here we are, too late. I went down that road, but here, and yeah, I'm just going to have to deal with it moving forward. So keep an eye out on my Twitter, Mr. Warren Hayes, or join the Mr. Warren Hayes. If you subscribe to the Mr. Warren Hayes Show page on YouTube as well, check out the community tab. I'll keep you all posted there as well. There you go. And we're going to be starting up a new comment streak starting tonight. And the comment streak, I just realized that it's 0 out of 10, but we're going to double that. We're going to double the comment streak. We're going to double the comment streak. We're going to go for we're going to go for a 20 comment streak. 20 comments on the next 20 videos is what the streak is going to be. And then what the reward is going to be at the end, well, we'll talk about it. But in the meantime, I will be watching the Goldberg at 24 documentary. The week after WrestleMania, it'll be a Saturday afternoon. I'm going to schedule it, going to let you all know so that we can all join in, which is the reward for the first comment streak. So we're going to do that in a couple of weeks. So be sure you hang around there. It'll probably be extremely, extremely, extremely infuriating. Looking forward to seeing that. Be sure to join us also on the Patreon, patreon.com/MrWarrenHayes after we're done here, because tonight we're talking about the WWE Hall of Fame. AEW doesn't have a Hall of Fame yet, but we're going to be talking about the 2021 class. It's coming up. We're going to talk about who's in there, who should be in there, who shouldn't be in there. It's going to be a good time. Y'all just go and check that out. So that'll be good stuff. At the Patreon, patreon.com/MrWarrenHayes, and it's a good way to show support. Another great way to show support is to also become a member of the Mr. Warren Hayes Show YouTube channel. There's a little area there on the main channel where you can join, and if you're a live viewer, it's fantastic because then you have access to some emotes that you can use throughout the proceedings. So that's also cool. And on top of that, you can also drop a super chat and I will read your question or comment live on the air. And we have a few here. And since tonight we are going to be doing a pick the topics event tonight, well, there's a few things that we will be talking about this evening. It's going to be you guys who are going to be picking the topics, but I am going to run through some of the super chats that we have been getting because they do cover a specific topic. So we'll consider this one a freebie, and then I'll get into the way that the raffle works for the topics. But let's get to it. Let's start reading some super chats here. And I appreciate everyone. Thank you very much for all your super chats already this evening. Anakin JMT left us one. Thank you very much, Anakin. It says, final Shamrock Shake count 13, a baker's dozen. Yeah, yeah. Kristen has been, she ever since that stream that she popped on in the chat where she was so disappointed in her Shamrock Shake, there's just been an outpouring of Shamrock Shakes to Kristen. And I have been supplying her with the Shamrock Shakes as to her, well, to her heart's content. Well, you should ask her if her heart is content. Are Shamrock Shakes still out? Or are they still out there? They're probably going to be closing that down soon. We're going to have to find something else soon, pretty soon. We have some talk about the New Japan Pro Wrestling unveiling of the brand new world title to replace the IWGP Heavyweight title. Gonna start by Nick Wolf's super chat here. Got a few of those. Thank you very much, by the way, Nick Wolf, for the very kind super chat this evening. He says Kota Ibushi is the true diva champion of New Japan Pro Wrestling. All the golden butterfly. It's crazy, right? How it really does have that design of, it really looks like the Divas belt. And I don't like it. I really, really don't like, it's, and it's crazy when you look at it and people have been making jokes, you know, with Cody's neck tattoo as well. It's like, what is this design? It doesn't look like it doesn't look like it's part of the belt. It looks like, you know, a plaque that you'd hang on someone's door, and then they're like, "Oh, let's take this," and they hot glued it to a belt and stuck it on there. It doesn't even look like it's part of, like, there's these all these areas where in the angles where you actually see the belt. That's not a good looking belt, and I was kind of holding hope. I've talked about, you know, the belt and the merging of the IC and heavyweight titles in the past. I'm not a fan of that. I don't, you know, because I really think that the IWGP heavyweight title has such, it was a prestigious title and was one that was held in great esteem, loved unironically by wrestling fans. And I was like, well, if the title they give us looks good, well, that'll be something, right? But no, we didn't even get that. We got that. Ibushi, Mr. Fritz, excuse me, who I often confound with Kota Ibushi, left us a super chat. Thank you very much, Mr. Fritz. Says Ibushi found the old unused King of the Ring title. Did they have did they have one of those? A kind of, oh yeah, okay, I remember the one that, yes, that kind of looked like a parapet. Yeah, it kind of looks like that. And they sort of like cut angles into it. They went snip, 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 snip at a couple of places. And that wasn't a great belt either. But you know what? If anything, the King of the Ring title is a little better than...
Ooh, yeah.
That's me. Nick Wolf left us another super chat. Thank you so much, Nick. He says, rest in peace to the most beautiful title. Too bad it had to be a World Heavyweight Championship. Yeah. As much as I like, what do they call it? Big Platinum, the AEW belt, the IWGP Heavyweight title, man, it was just something special. It always looked like a prize. Everyone wore that belt with pride, carried it with pride. The lineage and everything behind it, it's a rough one. It really, really, really is a rough one. Rest in peace, indeed. I don't think it was taken. Not a great death, if you ask me. The Line Drive left us a super chat. Thank you very much, Line Drive. He says, it was so nice of New Japan to let NXT UK's title as the most beautiful title in pro wrestling. The underappreciated brand deserves all the good things going for it. I'll tell you that. Line Drive is right. It'd be a toss-up for me between the NXT heavyweight title. The NXT title, it's not a heavyweight, it's just a title, right? The NXT title and the AEW World Championship, which I think is a beautiful belt too. The NXT titles all around are just, they're gorgeous belts. The women's title, the tag titles, they're all beautiful, beautiful, beautiful belts from top to bottom. I really like it. And I agree. It's one tippy top tier belt out of the way as far as beautiful titles go. I absolutely agree. Anakin JMT left us a super chat. Thank you very much. Says, hot take, WWE titles look better. The NXT titles look better. I'd even say the NXT UK titles look better. I'd even say the NXT title looks better. You know, the thing is that my main problem with the main roster belts, the main championship belts, is that they don't really look like belts, and they don't feel weighty, you know? They don't have any weight to them. It's not as if something... Like, I looked at the IWGP title, right? And I feel like I would sprain my wrists trying to lift it. Because it's a heavy belt, plus I'm a complete wuss. So, by trying to lift it, you know, I'd look at it and like, wow, that's a super heavy belt. Same thing with the AEW World title. You know, I like a belt that has it has a presence to it. And the WWE titles, well, look, you're putting over the brand. You're putting over the WWE, and that's what it's about, you know? But thank you for the super chat, Anakin. Nick Wolf left us a super chat again. Thank you very much. It says, more shocking unveiling, the Universal title or the New Japan title. What caused more hate? I would absolutely 100% say that it is the New Japan unveiling of the new world title. Absolutely. Because I think to a degree, there's a bit of shrugging that goes when it comes to WWE stuff where they go, what are you going to do? WWE is going to WWE, you know, of course you're retiring again, a series of beautiful belts on WWE's side, but the New Japan one, I don't know. There's something very, it feels like the end of an era. I think that's principally the thing, right? It feels like it's really an end of a certain era of New Japan and we're moving on to something else. That's what I think. Thank you everyone for the super chats. Already some good discussions going on. We're going to keep this up. We've got Noob and Company who's here. Nice to see you. Noob DGMC is here as well. Pluggo from Wrestling Plug In. Good to see you. Justin Firestein as well. Daniel Auntie, who is here on a rare occasion. Good to see you as well. All right. Well, hey, let's get going here. I really appreciate you all being here. And you've picked a good night to come because you, members of the Mr. Warren Hayes Show community who are in the chat right now, you fine ladies and lasses are going to be, ladies and lads is what I wanted to say, but ladies and lasses, that's essentially all women, you know, so, but ladies and lads, that's what I wanted to say. You get to pick the topics tonight. We've done this before a couple of months ago. I think it was in January. It was a brilliant idea that was brought to me via my better half, Kristen Ashley. And this is what we're going to do. So tonight we're picking the topics, and this is how we are going to pick the topics. It's very, very simple. We're going to be running a raffle very, very soon. The bot here in the chat is going to be running a raffle. That's it. So essentially, once the raffle is running, you type exclamation mark raffle to enter a chance to pick your to be picked, so that you can give your topic and then we'll discuss it. Just a couple of rules: the topics have to be wrestling related. Duh. No fantasy booking. Nothing against fantasy booking; it's just not my cup of tea. So no fantasy booking, please. Subjects which will not be revisited. So let's say we have a topic on the New Japan title. Well, we're not going, let's avoid talking about the New Japan titles again for another topic. You cannot re-enter. If I picked your topic once, you cannot re-enter another raffle. We'll try and give as many people the opportunity to answer some. If you do want to continue giving some super chats, the super chats have to be on topic so as to not derail and allow the person who got to pick a topic to get the full experience on that. But you know, if you want to add some topics on that, that's absolutely possible. And we'll discuss the topic for about 10 minutes or so, or until I get really, really exhausted about it. We'll do five. Yeah, well, we'll see how many we do. if you're interested in that. Okay, here's the question. Who should take the UK title from Walter? Rampage Brown or other, and when? Ah, this is a very, 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 very good question. Because Walter is coming up. He's coming up. He currently does have one of the longest reigns in WWE, right? I don't think he's overcome Pete Dunne's historic or has he? No, I don't think he has yet. I don't think he's overcome Pete Dunne's tenure with the UK title, but he's on his way. Look, they're clearly building Rampage Brown as a guy who has to come in and look credible enough to take Walter out, because that's the issue, right? That's the main issue, is you need someone who is going to make Walter look, who's going to look like a threat for Walter. And if they booked Pete Dunne to lose to Walter, who still clearly is probably the most credible threat to Walter's title, I think Walter right now, what I'm trying to say is that Walter right now, I don't think has a clear, credible guy who can take him out. Now, at TakeOver, he's going to be taking on Tommaso Ciampa, and that's a match I'm super excited to see. That's one of these matches where I was like, man, I cannot wait. I mean, these two guys work in the same company. Ciampa and Walter should be able to face off one day. Like, it just makes absolute sense for that to happen. Now, if Walter, but I don't think Walter is going to be losing the title. I don't think they're going to be taking it away from him. I really don't. I think that he's going to, what Tommaso Ciampa is going to do, he's going to legitimize Walter for a North American audience. Because between us all here, just sitting around, chatting right now, let's just talk amongst ourselves here. Not many people watch NXT UK here in North America. I'd be curious to know how many people in the UK actually watch it. But not a lot of us do. And it's a shame, because there's some really good stuff happening. Look, 2 years in a row, 2019-2020, NXT UK delivered unto our grateful crowns the best match in WWE. Was Walter versus Tyler Bate in 2019? Was Ilya Dragunov versus Walter in 2020? And there's a lot more great stuff happening underneath. And Kristen will tell you up and down just how great the women's division is over there. And it really is. It really, really fucking is. So I think the idea of having Walter coming over to NXT is to legitimize him in front of a North American viewing audience so that we can all get to know who this big ass Walter guy is, right? So the next time that Walter goes back to NXT UK to defend, that's where he should lose it. Now, will it be Rampage Brown? Could be. But you know who I think it should be? Should be Tyler Bate. I think Tyler Bate should come back around, challenge him again. Yes, he's the smaller guy, but he proved 2 years ago, well, we're heading on to 2 years, let's say 18 months ago, that, and it hasn't even been 18 months. Look, you guys know what I'm talking about. He's come around to, he showed that he could hang with Walter, which is a big deal. A big fucking deal. It really is. So if he... There's nothing like some good old-fashioned long-term storytelling, sports-centric storytelling, for Tyler Bate to come back and say, look, Walter, you beat the tar... We beat the tar out of each other last time, and you just managed to win. And now this time I'm ready to fight you. It's instant story, just like that. And it's not just David versus Goliath now. Now it's like, okay, Walter better be on his toes because Tyler Bate is coming in hot and ready this time. And why would any of us not be excited at the prospect of a Walter Bate 2? So I'm really, really, really thinking, like, go back to Tyler Bate, make him the first two-time NXT UK champion, because he was the inaugural one, was the first when he was still a baby. He's still a baby. He was a baby's baby back then. And elevate that guy, because through this, all of this, we must not forget how amazing a wrestler Tyler Bate is. And this is one of the tragedies as to why people, you know, why we don't watch NXT UK all that much. And people were looking at the Grizzled Young Veterans against MSK at the last takeover, and people were like, "My God, look at these guys, they're fantastic." And I'm like, "I know, Zach Gibson, he's fantastic." Of course, there's so many ultra-talented, underappreciated people over in NXT UK, like Bate, who deserve to have a larger spotlight shine the spotlight on Tyler Bate, ladies and gentlemen. That's what you need to do. I'm excited. I'm excited to see where they go. I'm excited to see Walter versus Ciampa. Again, I don't think Walter is dropping the title. I don't think Walter... I don't think Ciampa really wants, you know, the title all that much. But man, that match is going to slap so hard. Holy shit, when you think about it. And it says some chatter. I want Walter to hold this... Have a Bruno Sammartino run with the belt. I mean... You know, these days, holding the title for like 2 years is like a Bruno run these days. Anakin JMT left us a super chat. Thank you very much. And confirming that Walter does indeed have the longest reign of modern day champions. He surpassed Pete Dunne. See, I didn't even realize that. I'm too disconnected from NXT UK. And you know what? I feel bad because one of my first gigs in wrestling was to cover NXT UK. I feel bad. Should get back more into it. Make more time for it. Want to say hello to JL, who's in the chat. Good to see you. And, and look at this. We've also have Flowman, who's here. Did I say hello to DGMC? I don't remember. How you doing, TK? Welcome to the chat. There you have it. Those are my thoughts. Thank you very much for the topic, Mr. Fretz. Appreciate it. And we are about to open another raffle. Oh, this is a good one. Oh, I like this. This is a good question. What are your opinions on the Andrade interviews, and where do you think it would be best for him to go? Ooh, what a good, good, good question. In case you you don't know exactly what we're talking about, Andrade Cien Almas gave an interview earlier this week to Hugo. I'm forgetting his last name. Hugo. Oh shoot! I can't remember his last name. A former WWE employee, sportscaster, and he had an interview. He basically had his Jericho interview, where he being Andrade, of course, went through a lot of details, on his departure and whatnot. And, he ruffled some feathers, I think, or at least he raised some eyebrows when he mentioned specifically like that, Charlotte had tested, took a pregnancy test. I'm saying this wrong. She had some blood work done, and it was returned. When the tests results return, the WWE doctor's like, dude, you're pregnant. You gotta hit the bricks, and we're pulling you, you know. And she's like, wait, what? No. And then Andrade and Charlotte went elsewhere to get further testing. Everything came back negative. These are the same doctors that also said that she had COVID. So there's some tin foiling going on within this situation here. There's a lot of that happening. He talked about very interesting things, you know, how Vince McMahon didn't seem to realize what's going on with the talent, you know, because Andrade had been cleared, I think, since the fall, like November. He was cleared to wrestle since November, and Vince was like, oh, I didn't know. I don't know. Vince didn't realize that he was cleared. He wasn't even promised a spot on anything. Like, they didn't know what to do with him. He and Rey Mysterio went to pitch ideas to continue their feud because they had such great matches. And, you know, you learn some things, that the first match that Mysterio and Andrade had was supposed to be a one-off thing, but the match was so good and the crowd reaction was so huge. They're like, okay, well, let's turn this into a bit of a series, you know? So all kinds of great stuff like that. He said, what did he say? He said that his contract was like, he turned down a $3 million contract with WWE. And I call bullshit on that. Andrade wasn't getting $3 million from WWE. You know? But here's the thing. It was a great series of interviews. Again, sort of to peel back a little bit behind the curtain on what's going on in WWE. Of course, these are people who are leaving, who weren't necessarily happy in their position. Like, Andrade clearly wasn't satisfied with his creative and what they were having him do. And well, I mean, they weren't doing anything with him. They didn't even have him drafted, you know, last fall during the draft. He wasn't even on the list. It was like, what the fuck's going on? I don't think he came across as bitter, but you also have to take these things a little bit with a grain of salt, like the $3 million contract. You know, I'm like, but I think it's utterly fascinating, and I love these types of interviews. And he's still, he was still extremely classy. I've heard shoot interviews in the past, especially in the 2000s, you know, with RF video and whatnot, when those were really, really popular. Guys just shitting on people over on top of people, you know, just piling it on. And eventually you're like, look at all this shit. There's shit from top to bottom here. But the Andrade stuff was really, really interesting. And I thought it was super, super interesting. Of course he talks about his prospects, and he was talking about, you know, where he'd like to go. And basically he said everything is open to him. I don't think, because he did two interviews, right? He did a couple of interviews. I don't think he mentioned AEW by name, but he did talk about New Japan. He did talk about AAA, CML. Like, he does have, there is some heat, with his buddies, Dragon Lee and Roosh with the whole CMLL thing, there was heat. Is there still heat? I don't know. Would he go back to CMLL? Would he go to AAA? If he goes to AAA, well, AAA is closer to, it has a relationship of sorts with AEW. Kenny Omega is their main champion, honestly, I think the best thing for him would be to go in a place where he will just enjoy himself. And I feel like every wrestler who leaves the promotion that they're in always tends to go, if it's not directly to WWE for the big contract, it's at least to go to a place where they're going to end up with associates, friends, or people who will satisfy them creatively out of the get-go. Right? That's always how I kind of feel about it. And to me, him going to MLW would be a good idea. Going to Ring of Honor would be a great idea. And Ring of Honor, people sort of poo-poo it, but it has the financial backing to get a guy like Andrade to come in and, give him the money that, maybe not that all the money that he'd want, but pretty damn close to it. And his pals are there. Why wouldn't he go there and hang out with his buds and do that? That'd be great. Should he head on over to New Japan, hang out with Naito? Sure. Have a Gaijin member of Los Ingobernables de Japón? Sure. Why not? The thing here is that he's so happy. You could tell, like, in the interviews, and because I don't speak Spanish, but I was able to listen to the audio, and you can tell, like, there were moments that there was a little sing-song in his voice. You can tell that he's happy. This was a good move for him. This was, it made sense for him to move along. It sucks that he was so tied into Paul Heyman, so directly attached to Paul Heyman and Paul Heyman's, relation to not relation but his own Paul Heyman's standing as having a being the producer of Raw, right? Was the executive producer, I think that's what the title he had, whatever, anything to not say head of creative kind of thing, and when Heyman fell out of favor, so did he, and it's really a shame. I'm going to tell you, these are the two things, because I see a little bit in the chat here. I don't think, and I don't want to put my hand directly into the flames on this one, because I'm not exactly sure, but I don't think he could go back to being La Sombra, because he lost the mask to Atlantis, was the guy's name? And I think that since he lost the mask, he can't go back to being La Sombra. So wherever he goes, he's going to be... I think if he pulls out the mask again, it's like a huge mark of disrespect. So yeah, ultimately he could do it if he wanted. It's wrestling. He can do whatever he wants. But technically he lost the mask, so he can't be La Sombra anymore. But I'm going to tell you one thing. I would absolutely love the idea where... the idea of Andrade and Thea Trinidad, Zelina Vega, ending up together again. Because I'm going to tell you, they had such chemistry together. And they worked so well together. And Trinidad was such in her element, being his manager, his mouthpiece in North America. And she could do that anywhere they decide to go. Like, I can't judge on, how good of a promo Andrade is in Spanish, but I can tell you one thing is that Thea Trinidad could pull it off in Spanish as well. She could just grab the microphone and be that for him. And it's been a while since we've seen like where there's an act that was very, very difficult to disassociate. That you, it's so hard to think of Andrade and Zelina as two entities instead of like a team. Paul Bearer and Undertaker, you know, come to mind. It's like it, even when they had Paul Bearer become a heel and then, oh, I'm Kane's father and all that fucking nonsense when you think about it. It's an inseparable duo kind of thing. It's like Paul Ellering and the Road Warriors. You know, just something that is, it's so intrinsic and it's just them. It's not like one guy who has this stable of wrestlers. It's Andrade and Zelina. And I would dig it so much. Like if he decides to go to Ring of Honor, fucking Zelina Vega shows up there. Because in NXT, if you did not see Zelina and Andrade in NXT, then you're missing the most crucial moments of Andrade's development in WWE. She was the female Paul Heyman in there. She was fantastic. Absolutely fantastic. So yeah, that's how I'd see it. That's how I'd do it. You know, and I love the interviews. And I hope the important thing is that I feel like Andrade's happy. And ultimately, that's what that's what we should be. Final thing, I don't think he should go to AEW. I think I think AEW is stacked with enough guys right now that he doesn't need to go there. I think he has a worldwide, he could go work just about anywhere he wants outside of AEW. And I think that's what he should do. Well, thank you very much for that great question, Carney. I really, really appreciate it. Let's start up another topic. Let's go. Dylan's question. Warren, outside what you have discussed, how does this mania match up to other manias on paper? Thank you very much. That's a good question, Dylan. I like it. I like it. I think WrestleMania 37 this year is cold as ice. I think it is the one of the least exciting hot WrestleManias that we've had in a long time. But the thing is it's wild to say that when there's really, really fantastic matches that are lined up on this card. You look at what we have set up, and we don't have like Michael Cole versus Jerry Lawler. You know what I mean? Nothing feels like a filler match. Maybe a side one, two. At least, look, there's nothing that is going to be an outright disaster there's nothing that's going to be an outright disaster, you know? I'm just looking down at the card here really quickly. Like, outside, look, okay. We've got maybe, okay, and I say maybe, Braun Strowman versus Shane McMahon, which kind of feels like, you know, you can't even say, oh, there's no interest in this match. There's a lot of matches on this card that don't have interest, but still have the potential to be really exciting matches for a WrestleMania show, okay? But I think that the Braun Strowman Shane McMahon match just has that unfortunate side effect of just being Braun. No one has cared for Braun in such a long time, and it's been a long time since Braun Strowman has been valued by anyone. And Shane McMahon, I mean, I still don't understand why we'd get excited about a Shane McMahon match in 2021. Oh, Shane is going to jump off of shit. Everyone jumps off of shit. You know, it's not even a cool thing for Shane to do anymore. Like, everyone does it. Bad Bunny versus The Miz. Look, it's the mainstream media match, right? It's not going to be as bad as Bam Bam Bigelow versus Lawrence Taylor. You know, it's not going to be on that level. WrestleMania 11 is a good example of a card of a WrestleMania that, you know, they tried really, really hard with the Bam Bam Lawrence Taylor match, right? And they really did their best to drive that home and make it feel like a big thing. But technically speaking, Bret Hart and Bob Backlund is really the match on this card there where you're like, okay, this is something that you should watch. This is what you need to turn to when you decide to go watch WrestleMania 11, because there's really nothing else. Lex Luger and the British Bulldogs versus the Blue Brothers. And then you had Diesel Shawn Michaels match, which were never really great, despite the fact that they were buddies. You know, they weren't fantastic matches. Even WrestleMania 9, remember that? It had the hype of Yokozuna and Bret Hart, and then the whole shit with Hulk Hogan after. But then you had on the undercard the Head Shrinkers versus the Steiners and Doink the Clown versus Crush. You know, it's not great moments in WrestleMania history. But here, like, I don't think, like, this is not going to be, this isn't WrestleMania 17 areas of hype, and I don't think it's going to be remembered that fondly either. But you've got Sasha Banks and Bianca Belair. You have Bobby Lashley and Drew McIntyre. You know these guys are going to work their asses off. It's going to be awesome. You just know it. You've got Cesaro versus Seth Rollins. Cesaro probably wants to prove something in this match. I know Seth is a very divisive figure in wrestling fandom. You know, some people really like his work. Some people think he's overrated. Some people like his attitude. Some people think it stinks. But Seth is always in a position, always works hard and works to make the other guy look great as well. Reigns versus Edge versus Daniel Bryan. Daniel Bryan is in a WrestleMania main event, folks. Yes, it's a triple threat match. Yes, it was thrown together because I think WWE got cold feet in regards to Edge and potentially becoming the next Bautista. You know what I mean? But that can't suck. It just can't. Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn. Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn has never sucked. And it will never suck. You know, we've got too many really interesting, fascinating matches here. Asuka versus Rhea Ripley is something that I'm really excited about too. I'm excited to see Sheamus win the US title. Anakin left us a super chat in this regard. He says, and this will lead me into, you know, the next thought that I have here. Nothing going to be an outright disaster? Have you forgotten the last time Orton and Wyatt fought at WrestleMania? Yes. Yes, I do. But the situation here is that, and I'm still crossing my fingers, I'm still holding out for this to be a Firefly Funhouse match. That's what I'm still holding out to be. Because they need to reconcile the House of Horrors match that they did a couple of years ago. They need to rinse their palate from it. And if we go ahead and we have ourselves a proper Firefly Funhouse for this match, I think it is the best thing to do because Randy has just as much meta around him as the as John Cena does. He's got all sorts of, you know, dark history and, you know, rumors of him being an asshole and the handshakes and the wellness violations and tons of shit he should have been fired for, but he never did. I'm with you, Anakin, on this. If we're going for a straight up wrestling match, the chances that it's going to suck go up tenfold. But I really hope it's some kind of cinematic. We got one more Raw. We got next Raw to turn this around and be like, hey, this is it. Suitcase defecation. Yeah, exactly. A suitcase. That's the stipulation, right? First guy to take a dump in the other guy's briefcase. The Fiend has a briefcase. But I don't know. There's so much on this card, which is legitimately exciting and has the potential to really deliver on some great matches, but it is so cold. It is so, so, so cold. Frigid cold. And it's a shame. But then again, WWE, you know, what are you going to do? It's not as if these are forces conspiring against them. These are all decisions that they've been making up until this point, right? You know, the decisions to, you know, not to push people the way they were pushed and not create compelling storylines and not give us like real stars. You know, I think, you know, It's a product of their own creative mismanagement, I think. I think it might go down as a low point. As a low point in, you know, as far as maybe reception goes. So, you know, attendance, well, even discounting COVID, you know, I don't think WrestleMania 37 is going to be regarded as a financial event success, you know, where I don't think we're going to go back and remember it fondly, but if we do, it'll be because of the quality of matches that we have on this card. And if WWE lets their wrestlers be wrestlers, I think that's half the battle won right there. There we go. Thank you very much. Thank you very much for your question, Dylan Tracy, for your topic. Was a good one. Appreciate it a great deal. Let's start another one. Here we go. We have Chris Jacobs who asked, what are my top three non-WWE shows WrestleMania week? Oh boy. Okay. Let me pull up a list here because this is the kind of shit that I really, really forget. And just because I'm old, guys, I forget stuff. So let me just pull up a list here. Let me take a look. Well, look, okay, straight off the bat, first and foremost, and this is a good question. I really appreciate the question, Chris. Thank you very much. I think that let me pull it up. There we go. It has to be, in my opinion, the For the Culture show that is going to be running on, I think it's Thursday. Is it Thursday or Friday? It's on, Thursday. So, yeah, exactly. The For the Culture show, it was the best show, in my opinion, I think it was the best indie show of 2020. And it was the best show of the collective last year. And I think this is still the case here. Rich Swann, Too Cold Scorpio. It's going to be great. Lee Moriarty, who is one of my favorite... one guy who I discovered specifically through the For the Culture show last year. Like, this guy is special, and I've been following everything that he's been doing. Lee Moriarty is so... he is such special talent. You know, the kind... he's the kind of talent that we say... he's a special talent, you know, when we used to talk about Ricochet, when we used to talk about Leo Rush. He's on that level. Lee Moriarty, and he's going to be fighting Leo Rush. So that's going to rule. AJ Gray versus JTG is going to be great as well. Thick and Juicy versus Fire and Flavia, that's going to be awesome too. This is a good show. Oh, wait, this four-way? Are you kidding me? Myron Reed, Ken Broadway, Calvin Tankman, and Andy Brown. That show is going to be nuts. And that you'll be able to watch that next Thursday after we're done with Takeover. It's a midnight show. I think it's great. I think this is going to... the For the Culture show last year blew my mind, and it was so good. I thought it was the best paced show that they had on. They had such a select amount of talent. Great stuff. I'd probably go with Alley Cat's Real Hot Girl Shit, because there's a lot of women talent here that I really, really like. It is like, it's a bit of a who's who of the independent women's scene right now. Of course, Alley Cat, she's going to be there at her own show, versus Billy Starks, who is still a baby, but she's so good. That's going to be a fantastic one. Holodead versus Dark Sheik is going to be great. Then you've got Tasha Steelz and Trisha Dora. If you guys and gals follow what I do here and you listen to the Mr. Warren Hayes show, you know how much I love Trisha Dora, how special a talent I think she is. Tasha Steelz is amazing. These are two women who know how to wrestle and who are super strong strikers. This is going to rock. Absolutely rock. Got Davienne versus Erica Lee. Allison Kay versus Faye Jackson. Bam, bam, bam. Bam, bam. They are going to hurt each other. And I'm very, very happy for Faye Jackson. I'm very, very happy. She's finally going to put on her gray sweatpants battle royal, which she had planned to do at WrestleMania at WrestleMania week last year. She's finally going to be able to do it. Who's in here? Mysterious Q, Daniel Garcia, PB Smooth, JTG, and fucking Ricky Shane Page. And I'm really, really, really glad that she's getting the chance to do that. It's good. It's really something special. I mean, there's a lot of... those are my two... like, those are the two shows that I'm most looking forward to. Just going through the list, because there's so much stuff. Of course, there's the Acid Cup that's happening that entire week, you know, and you have Laredo Kid and Tony Deppen involved and Calvin Tankman and AJ Gray, Nate Webb, Lee Moriarty, Jordan Oliver's in there as well. Isn't Leo Rush wrestling as the Blackheart? He's wrestling Jordan Oliver, right? At some point. Yeah, at Spring Break. There we go. Okay. The Spring Break card this year, of course, we're getting Ricky Shane Page versus Nick Gage, which is going to be, blood. Tony Deppen's Beer House looks like a lot of fun. JD Drake, Jordan Oliver should be fun. Little bit of a clash of styles. JD Drake, we're seeing him... seeing it around a lot more. Brayden Lee versus Ace Austin. Myron Reed versus Matt Vertigo. Tank versus the One Call Manders. Simon Grimm versus Brandon Kirk. I mean, it's a low-key, fun-looking card there. think there's a lot of good. There's a lot of good. Yeah. I think I'd go down that route. I think there's a lot of great shows happening regardless. But yeah, those are definitely my picks, the matches that I'm definitely looking for the culture, Alley Cat show. Those are definitely my top picks. And you know, and I know a lot of people still, you know, get excited for Josh Barnett, but I think the Bloodsport thing is, I don't know if it's losing a little gas. Of course, you know, we're finally getting Josh Barnett versus Jon Moxley. So that's what was supposed to happen last year, WrestleMania week, right? And that's what, oh no, it was Mox's staph infection, right? That, he had to pull from match. You know, there's Allison Kay versus Masha Slamovich, which is, I mean, Masha should just destroy. Not that Allison's not a tough lady, she really is, but Masha is something else. You know, Rocky Romero, Chavo Guerrero, Alex Coughlin, Royce Isaacs. I mean, it's not a bad card. It's not Chris Dickinson, Shane Mercer. It's not a bad show. I'm just wondering if we're not if we're not towards the end of the line in the blood sports presentation and the way that it's delivered unto us. You know, what would be the saving grace of a blood sport card? You know, Jon Moxley versus Minoru Suzuki or Josh Barnett versus Minoru Suzuki. Like, how do you top the Bloodsport dream match at this point, which is Barnett and Moxley, right? We're getting it. I'm not quite as excited about Bloodsport as I previously was. That's just me. I say we, but I mean me. So yeah, but I mean, look, the thing is that there's something for everyone. There's something for everyone on this card, on this entire week, and it's so good. And if by chance, folks, you are going to Tampa and you want to dive in and support your favorite indie acts and your favorite indie promotions, good on you. But please, 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 please wear a mask, social distance, be careful, watch out for yourself, for the others around you. Just be careful, right? That's all that matters. Thank you very much for that question, Dylan. That was a good one. Some good stuff coming out tonight. All right, let's start off another raffle. Here's the question. Where do you see Ciampa, Cole, and the loser of NXT title matches, men's and women's? Okay. Okay, where do you see Tommaso Ciampa, Adam Cole, and the loser of the NXT title matches, men's and women's, going forward post takeover? Now that's an interesting question. This is a very interesting. It's a very interesting question because I thought that splitting up the Undisputed Era was the first step to getting Adam Cole onto main roster, and the way I thought they were going to do it, because he has this blood feud with Kyle O'Reilly, right? I thought that they were going to make this, a loser leaves town match. Probably would have telegraphed the conclusion something proper, right? Like, I don't think anyone would have expected Kyle O'Reilly to be ejected from NXT, but you know, it would have added, you know, that kind of level of drama to the whole proceedings. These are all really good questions, and I think his time in NXT is done. I think that I think my prediction, here's my official prediction. I think Kyle O'Reilly goes over at TakeOver, and that is Adam Cole's swan song. I think he hits the bricks and goes up to main roster as of now. Because he not only has he done everything he could do, but I think that him hanging around there while they're trying to push Kyle O'Reilly, while they might try to do something with Roderick Strong, I think the fact that he's just the fact that he's there will have the shadow of Undisputed Era just loom still very large over the two other guys. So I think the time is now for Adam Cole. Now, I know we've been saying this, I think, for 2 years now. I think this is the third year running that we're saying Adam Cole should go up to main roster. But I really, really think this is it. I really think that this is the moment where Adam Cole goes up. And that would be good for Kyle O'Reilly, because the difference between Kyle O'Reilly and Adam Cole is that I think Adam Cole, the way he presents himself, his natural charisma, his mic skill, he can get himself over on main, not a problem. Of course, you know, I could be proven wrong, i.e. Ricochet. But Ricochet didn't quite have the same mic skills, but that's a whole other story. We all know the stories. Where I think a guy like Kyle O'Reilly, though, he thrives in an environment like NXT. Because NXT still has that super indie show feel to it. You can argue that it's been dripping away since going to USA. But still, Kyle O'Reilly is a much more natural fit for a place like NXT. I don't think he gets himself over as easily. On Maine, I think Vince takes a look at him. He's like, I don't know what to do with this kid with the faux hawk kind of thing. Tommaso Ciampa is another really interesting example, because here's a guy who again, we've been saying for years, time for Tommaso to go to Maine, time for Tommaso to go to Maine. Of course, he had his injury, and NXT isn't quite as centered around him as it once was. But do you send him to main roster? I think, you know, again, properly booked, I think Ciampa has the capacity to get himself over. But, you know, whatever these guys do in NXT, it doesn't matter when they go up on main. They reset the button. No matter how over or how much of a sure thing we thought Bayley was, or how much of a sure thing we thought Aleister Black was, there's creative is always going to be the impediment to the career of these people. They go up there and they start fresh. They start anew, yet they're bringing a baggage with them. And I've talked about this in the past as well, and I'm still going to bring it up here. I don't understand, like, in a purely business point of view, I don't understand the return on investment to work on these wrestlers in your minor leagues to get them over, to develop a character, to develop a following, then to move them up to main roster and start over, essentially. Like, I don't understand how that is an investment in a talent. I don't think there's any other sport that does that, where it's like, we'll take you from the minors, bring you into our major league, but, you know, you, let's say you're playing hockey and you were a center. No, but we're going to put you on defense because that's where we think you belong. Yeah, but I'm a center. Yeah, but you should play defense. Like, that, the return on investment, it baffles my mind. I don't know how it works. So I'm going off track a little bit. Coming back specifically to Ciampa, I don't know. I don't have a good answer. I don't know. I at this point, I'm kind of like caution to the wind. He has spoken before that he never wants to leave NXT. Like, he wants to stay in NXT. That's where he feels he belongs. That's part of what he built. And to his credit, you know, to very much to his credit, He was an integral part of some of the best years, the best final years that NXT had, you know, and DIY, the whole Johnny Gargano thing. I think that if you look back at it now, as opposed to when we were, you know, deeply in it, and a lot of people were complaining, oh, it's too much melodrama, blah, blah, blah. I think you look back on it now and you're like, Jesus Christ, this was really good storytelling. From the DIY stuff, the injury, Johnny Gargano rebuilding himself, to Tommaso Ciampa coming back and just murdering him, and Ciampa coming out as a psychopath. And it was really, really good storytelling. I think, you know, if we were to revisit the whole thing, that whole sequence, I think it'd be really, really good. I really do. Let me see. You had asked Ciampa, Cole, and the losers of the NXT title matches, which are going to be Finn Balor and Raquel Gonzalez. I don't see Finn going anywhere either. I don't think Finn has ever been this good. Let me rephrase that. I don't think Finn has ever been this good in his WWE run. I would argue he's better than when he came into NXT. I'd have to go back and watch some of his stuff, because I may be jumping the gun a little bit here, because, you know, I'm sort of thinking about his stuff with Samoa Joe, and, well, that's fucking great stuff. That's really, really great stuff. But I mean, if he goes back to main roster, do you suddenly, Vince, do you think Vince suddenly will see him as, oh yeah, pal, look at him. He points at you and they're kind of like guns, and he looks mean now. He's a mean little Irish guy. So we'll put a little hat on him. No, then he's like, you know, Vince is going to look at Finn, come back, and is going to be like, Finn, give us a smile, pop your collar. You know, do the thing that you do with the gay people. That's what Vince is saying, of course. So it'll be back to square one for Finn Balor, for sure. I think he's fine where he is. I think he's relevant. He's been doing fantastic work. He's been wrestling in a way that he can't do on main. So leave him go there. And as far as Io goes, not Io, but Raquel, she's just starting off. She's absolutely just starting off. We're at the fresh coat of paint of that is Reyna Gonzalez finally getting some shine. I see a lot of people in the chats apparently disagreeing with the idea that Io Shirai is a lot. I don't see Io Shirai dropping the title. And I don't see Io Shirai dropping the title for a while. But I am okay with being surprised. It's not because I don't think Raquel is a bad wrestler. I don't. I think she's good. Is she suddenly like main event material? I mean, there are signs that WWE has been wanting to push her. You know, this is probably why they didn't go all in with her, with the tag titles with her and Dakota Kai, because, you know, they probably saw her as an opportunity to put the women's strap on her and, you know, have some David versus Goliath matches with her. Like, we've seen, you know, the seeds being sown. But it's funny, but I don't see how you can take the belt off of Io Shirai. Io is, she's too good. She has the presentation. I still think, if anything, if they want to make this into a thing, because I don't think Io has had her defining feud yet. I don't think she's had that feud in NXT where it's like, yep, this is the one that made it happen. They may set the stage for Raquel winning the title off of Io, but I don't think it's a takeover. I think Io should hang on to the title for a while still. I think she should go home with the title once again and rub it in Evil's face and be like, neener, neener, neener. My bookers like me. The fans like me. Thank you very, very much for the question. For the question, JK Schwal, I really, really appreciate it. Okay, let's do one more. I'm feeling it. One more, but a quick question. It has to be not too long form, a quick one, in and out, couple of minutes. But of course, you know, I'm Mr. Warren Hayes and I talk. So let's do it like one more time. Let's pull it up here. Just wait till you get, there we go. Now we can, you guys can start jumping in the raffle one more time. One last quick question. Okay, here we go. How will NXT's move to Tuesday affect them? NAEW or two? Okay, you're really giving me a choice. Okay, how will NXT's move to Tuesday affect them and AEW or two? How freaking good is Ty Conti right now? You pick which is the shorter one for you to answer. I think I'll answer both because they're two very, very short answers, I think, in my opinion, as it stands now. Ty Conti, she's fantastic. She's always been fantastic. That's the thing. I think that she just wasn't... I think that the PC style didn't suit her because sometimes this happens when people who have legit fighting backgrounds, they get into the performance center or, you know, a wrestling training environment, and it's a little more difficult because there's a lot of reflexes they have to lose. This is one of the things that Ronda Rousey used to talk about quite a bit, where she was like, you know, wrestling is different because, you know, I have all these reflexes. If someone takes my arm in a certain way, then my reflex as a fighter is to turn around and try to hurt them in another way, but you don't want to hurt the person, but you still want to incorporate like your knowledge, what you've learned into wrestling. So I think there's that. Maybe there was some attitude problems. I don't know, but she's been doing very, very, very good in NXT for the past, what is it now? She's been there with them for 8 months and she's grown tremendously. I'm excited for her. I think it was a good move for her to get the hell out of Dodge because I don't think she'd be having the shine that she has right now, in NXT. And I remember she had an absolutely, absolutely dreadful match against Santana Garrett on an episode of NXT. And I think that was still on the network, if I'm not mistaken. And it was a dreadful match. And yet here she is. She's doing so much better, and I'm happy for her. As for the move to NXT, how will it affect them and AEW? I'm going to tell you who it's going to affect. I'm going to tell you who the real winners are. Wrestling fans. As I say often, like I don't follow the ratings as religiously as other podcasters and other members of wrestling media out there. I don't all that much. I follow from afar. I'm like, oh, that's interesting. Oh, look, they're slipping. Oh, look, that's up. But, you know, I couldn't give you proper analysis as to what is going to happen. But you do have the impression, right? And this is where here's the most fascinating thing that's going to come out of here. Because I think it's good for AEW and I think it's good for NXT. I think it's good for them to grow the brands on their own. And nothing will prevent anyone here from going back to a head-to-head war down the line. But I think this is what's going to be interesting to find out. How fractured is the wrestling watching base? How really fractured is it? Because week after week on Wednesday nights, we're like, look, there's like 1.5, 1.2, 1.5, 1.8 million people, depending on the week, million people watching wrestling, but split between two shows, right? So does that mean that there's like 1.5 million people who watch wrestling, who'd be watching wrestling on a Wednesday night? We're about to find out. We're literally about to find out. Or are the battle lines much more clear in that regard? Has it always been like, nope? Because if AEW still pulls the same ratings as they did on Wednesdays, I think that's going to be very, very telling. Same thing with NXT. If NXT pulls the same ratings as the as on Tuesday, I think that's going to be extremely telling as well. And then you're going to sort of wonder, well, is there truly anyone who can compete then with WWE main brand shows? SmackDown, WWE? Because they have million plus, sure, it's been dropping. I know that. But they still do million plus viewership on Mondays and Fridays. It'll be really interesting to see how that happens, you know, how that goes off. But as wrestling fans, if you're the type of fan who likes to watch as much wrestling as you can, that you want to make sure that you're able to get as much in as possible, this is the best possible situation. Sure, you're going to have to tell your wives and your husbands that there's wrestling five nights a week when there isn't a pay-per-view on the weekend. You know, you're going to have to have a talk. But outside of that, there's no downside for fans. It's all going to be about observing how the business adapts to this, where the audiences go. Are they going to follow NXT onto Tuesdays? Are they going to gain more people? Is there going to be less? It's going to be really, really, really interesting. And if anything, this is going to be much more telling for AEW to see just how strong their brand is on as a standalone show on Wednesdays. Will they be able to gain more viewership on a regular basis and maybe even raise that? Finally reach that magic 1 million stepping stone that a lot of people have been clamoring for. It's like, AEW has never even had a million people week after week. You know, maybe they'll be able to do that. This is all things we'll be able to see very, very soon. So it's exciting times. It's exciting times for the business. And I hope that Impact's move to Thursday will be good for them too, but probably not, because they're going to be counter-programming the Mr. Warren Hayes show on Thursday nights. And we know no one counter-programs the juggernaut that is the Mr. Warren Hayes show. I mean, I guess they don't want viewers. That's up to them. That's their decision. If they wanted viewers, they would have, you know, put their show on Thursday at 4 p.m. to make sure that you know, they don't even get a whiff of me. But no, they want to go at the same time as me. All right. Okay. Well, we'll see how that goes. Well, let's see how that turns out for you, boyo. But hey, it's a good question, and it's fun stuff. Ty Conti's great. NXT, AEW. I'm excited to see what the future holds. Man, we have got a big, big week of wrestling coming up in the next few weeks. Well, in the next week or so. And again, keep your eyes on all my social media stuff on the community tab on the YouTube channel. I'm this close to having a really fun, big, cool, awesome announcement. I'm this close, but I don't want to jinx it. But maybe I already have. So keep an eye on that. I've got some stuff up my sleeve. Keep an eye for next week as well, for the start time of the Mr. Warren Hayes show. Probably not at 9 p.m. As per usual, but we'll do. There'll be something. There'll be something somewhere. Trust me on that. But hey, in the meantime, I want to thank everyone who came out this evening, hung out till the very end, and participated in the raffle. All the topics were cool. It was a lot of fun. Talked a lot about WWE tonight, which is something that, well, no, I talk a lot about WWE. I was going to say I don't talk a lot about WWE. No, but it's not true. I do. We talked a lot about it. It was a lot of fun. And I really appreciate everyone coming in this evening. If you liked what you saw, give the video a thumbs up one last time. And let's do this again sometime. I hope you guys enjoyed it. The comment streak is going to start on this video here. So let's get those comments going, folks. It also helps grow the channel a tremendous deal. It helps out a lot. So I hope you guys enjoyed the evening. I sure did. Hope everyone has a wonderful rest of the week. I will see you all very soon. Look, at the latest on Monday for a Monday night slate. I hope you guys pop in there. Otherwise, have a great weekend, folks. See you next time.